So that's John chapter 6, verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the lake saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day."
Well, let me just extend my greetings to you today at lunchtime. You should find an outline of the talk on the back of the sheets you were handed in as you walked in. Today we're looking at what did Jesus mean when he said that he is the bread of life. And to begin with, I want us to ponder the following question. What is the one essential thing that you cannot live without? So just to repeat that. Just think about what is the one essential thing that you cannot live without? Would you say it's your morning cup of coffee? Maybe it's your smartphone or your diary. Maybe it's your car or your bike. Now, all of those are reasonable answers. But the thing is, if we're being honest, we probably could live without those things. Yes, it's actually possible to live without your smartphone. But how many of us have given a thought to our basic needs of food and water? If you're eating right now, you probably are. On average, the body can only survive 3 weeks without food and 7 days without water. And so when it comes to a matter of life or death, our daily survival is so dependent on food and water. The most basic of food groups is bread. It's a staple food found in most of the diets around the world. In the society of Jesus' time, 2,000 years ago, bread was vital for sustaining life. It was central in the Jewish culture's diet. And it was a matter of life or death if you had bread or not. And this is the theme of our passage today. What is essential for our life? That without it, would it be a matter of life or death? For the Israelites, in today's passage, this was bread. But as vital as bread was, Jesus makes a far bigger claim in our passage today. If you look down with me to verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So what is Jesus actually saying here? Is he telling you to put away your pret sandwich and instead feast on him? Are we meant to take his words literally? Well, we'll explore this over the next 20 minutes. And do bear with me if all this talk about food and bread is making you feel a bit peckish. In verse 35, on first reading, is quite a prerogative statement to make. You would have got the crowd thinking, this is outrageous. What is Jesus saying here? Here is the person they wanted to make king in chapter 6, verse 15. Now saying he is the bread that they should be feasting on. And this is probably not how we often view Jesus ourselves. But from our passage today, I want us to understand that just like bread and food is key to sustaining our life in this world, we are to see Jesus as the spiritual bread that we need to feast on daily. That without Jesus, it is a matter of life or death. That without him, it's a matter of eternal life or death. We are to see that he will sustain us onto eternal life because he is the one that is essential for eternal life. Jesus knows our greatest need, which is to leave this world that will perish, that is under God's judgment, and to enter his new kingdom that will not perish, but is eternal. 2 weeks back, we heard from John chapter 3 that it was essential for us to be born again in the Spirit. And when we are born again, we receive eternal life. Today's passage is like a big arrow pointing to Jesus, saying we receive eternal life only through Jesus. That once we are born again, Jesus is enough. He alone is all we need to sustain us in this life and onto the next. He is the only meal we need to have today, and he is enough in that regard. As we hear this passage today, we're challenged to ask ourselves, do we believe this? Do we see Jesus as far more important to our life than bread and water? As we wait for Jesus to return, we are wandering in the wilderness of this world. And he is vital for our survival, like spiritual bread, to sustain us in this life and the next. Through Jesus, we may enter the promised land, which is his eternal kingdom. And so I want us to think about my first point, which you'll find on your sheets, which is to seek after the bread that endures forever. But before we dive into our passage, we see in chapter 6, two miracles are referenced in relation to bread. One earlier in chapter 6, where Jesus has crossed to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. There he fed over 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And secondly, the crowd reference in our passage today, a miracle in the Old Testament, where God provides bread from heaven to sustain his people in the wilderness. And right in the middle of chapter 6 is Jesus' extraordinary claim in verse 35 that he is the bread of life. And so bread plays a big role in our chapter today. Bread is a symbol of what we need to survive, to sustain us. It is life or death if we don't have it. And Jesus wants the crowd to see him like this. He wants them to see him as more than just a miracle worker, more than just a prophet that they saw him as in verse 14. He knows that they want to make him king for the wrong reasons in verse 15. And in our passage today, in verses 22 to 25, the crowd are seeking him because they want more bread. In their eyes, the Messiah is the miracle worker who provides bread. And they are thinking with their stomachs. Now, I'm known as a guy at work that's always eating at my desk. I'm sure every office has one. Maybe you're that person too. Every hour, I always have something that I'm always munching away on. Have you seen that movie, Ocean's 11? Well, Brad Pitt's character in that movie is always eating in every scene, and that's the nickname my boss has given me in the office. So I can sympathize with the Israelites here. They are thinking with their stomachs. After all, this would have been the bread for their day to keep them alive. But for them to understand who Jesus is, they need to understand what he has come into this world to offer. He does this using the language of bread and food. Jesus has come to offer life beyond this world with him. They need to fix their eyes on eternal life. He has come into this world to offer more than just physical bread. And he gets us thinking about this, if you look down with me, to the first half of verse 27, where he says, "Do not work for the bread that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life." And this is a verse for all of us here at Aldersgate to pay attention to. Eternal life should determine what we strive for in this life. We are to seek that bread that endures forever. See it as key to our survival. As we pursue the things of the city, whether that's to get the promotion to further our career, to increase our financial status, or to even increase our own credibility, I don't think Jesus says to stop pursuing these things completely, but that we face a real danger of solely focusing on things that will ultimately perish. See, we can pursue these things as a secondary pursuit, but Jesus is saying that we need to be careful that these pursuits don't take our eyes off the bread that endures forever. This is why Jesus tells us to seek the bread that endures forever. He recognizes our need, that we are in a fallen, perishing world, and we will face death one day. We need this bread more than we need the bread of this world. And Jesus wants us to see that our survival is dependent, not on the things of this life, but rather in perspective of eternity. And this is why Jesus comes into the world, to offer us eternal life with him. So what is this bread that endures forever in verse 27? Well, this moves me on to my second point, that Jesus is this bread. He is essential for eternal life. You see, he is a spiritual bread that we need to be feasting on daily. Our survival, eternal life, or death is dependent on Jesus. We see this elaborated further in verses 30 to 34. See, the Israelites ask for a sign from Jesus. They want to see if he is the real deal, that he can offer them this eternal bread. They haven't quite got it yet, that Jesus is this eternal bread that lasts forever. And they reference a miracle in Israel's past, where God provided bread from heaven every day. They call this bread manna because of miraculous bread that signified God's provision for the nation. Without this manna, they would have died in the harsh heat and barren conditions of the wilderness. And so it was key for their survival. And into this, Jesus is saying he is the true fulfillment of this bread or manna from heaven. He is far more important to their survival than the physical bread that they received. Standing before them is the true manna from heaven. If you look down with me to verse 33, it reads, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." See, Jesus is saying that he will truly sustain them because he is the bread that will give them eternal life. He says later in chapter 6, verse 49, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. But this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." To round this point even further home, Jesus says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You see, Jesus tells us the bread of this life will only leave you wanting more because it will perish. But we will never hunger or thirst if we come to Jesus, if we believe in him. What this means is a picture of being full, of being content and being satisfied in Jesus. As we wander the wilderness of this world, Jesus is the bread that we need to survive. He is the true manna, the one that will sustain us now and on to eternal life. See, as we eat our sandwiches this lunchtime, our stomachs will be full, but we'll need to eat again later. But as we feast on Jesus, he will spiritually feed us and keep us onto eternal life. So how can we trust the claim Jesus makes in verse 35 here? Well, our current series here at Aldersgate is focusing on Jesus' I am statements. You'll find them between chapters 5 and 10 of John's Gospel. And each of these I am statements slowly uncover who Jesus is, like the unraveling of a grand painting. Every time Jesus uses the phrase, "I am," he is using the covenant name of God, Yahweh, revealed to Moses at the burning bush. The Jewish crowd would have certainly understood this, and they would know that Jesus is affirming himself to be the eternal God of the universe here. And in our passage today, we get the first I am statement in John's Gospel, which will be repeated later in chapter 6, verses 47 and 48, and again in verses 51. See, Jesus is making it very clear to the crowd listening that he is Yahweh, that he is the eternal God of the universe, come down to this world to offer us eternal life with him. So how do we eat this bread that is Jesus. Well, many of his disciples thought it was literal. In verse 51, Jesus says the bread he gives is his flesh. And his followers turn away thinking the great miracle worker, the great prophet, the king, the person they want to make king, is now talking crazy talk and now wants people to eat his flesh. Thankfully, he's not talking about literally eating his flesh. If you look at the passage, the repetition of the word believe helps us to understand what Jesus means here. To eat this bread or to feast on Jesus' flesh is just a metaphor. It is to believe in Jesus. We see this in verse 29, if you look down with me. Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." In verse 35, Jesus tells us, "Whoever comes to him will never hunger. Whoever believes in him will never thirst." And in verse 40, "Whoever looks on the Son and believes will have eternal life." And in verse 47, we see it repeated again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes will have eternal life." And so to feast on Jesus, on this bread of life, is to believe in Jesus. And to believe in Jesus is to trust his words. In chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." At the end of this chapter, Peter says in verses 68 and 69, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." And so as we feast on Jesus and his words in the pages of Scripture, they will nourish us and sustain us spiritually. Jesus' words will prevent us from spiritually starving in this world. And this belief is a radical one that puts Jesus and his words at the center of our lives. He is the bread of life that we feast on daily. It is a matter of eternal life or death if we don't have Jesus and his words. We walk through the wilderness of this life. We face suffering and temptations and pleasures of this world. We might lose everything, but with Jesus, we have everything we need. He is essential for our survival, to sustain us. We have eternal life with him. Jesus will guide us through this world. He'll guide our thoughts and our actions, our decisions and desires. He is the bread that we need to feast on. He will nourish us and sustain us and satisfy us. If this world perishes, Jesus and his words will not perish. If we trust in him, we too will not perish, but gain eternal life. So what must we do to have eternal life? What works must we perform? This is the question that the crowd asked Jesus in verses 28. Well, Jesus makes it very clear that the eternal life that he gives is a gift. We see this in verse 27. "He is the Son of Man whom God has set his seal upon, the only one who can offer eternal life." We see it in verses 32 and 33. God the Father sends Jesus from heaven into this world, and Jesus gives life to the world. There are no works that we can perform. The crowd in this passage, they seek signs. They seek miracles and they want more. They want to perform works. But Jesus tells them that the only work they need to do is to believe in him, as he says in verse 29. Eternal life is given to us freely if we believe only in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. This is what separates the Christian faith from all other world religions and worldviews. You see, at the center of the Christian faith is Jesus, who is the all-sufficient bread of life. We can trust that Jesus will raise us in a physical resurrection, as we learn in verses 39 and 40. And this is the will of God in verses 39, the real hope that we have as Christians, that he will keep us and not lose us, that we are safe with him if we go to him each day and believe in him each day, depending on Jesus more than the things of this world. Now, some of you may be sitting here thinking, all this talk about bread and eternal life isn't for me. You're probably saying, I've got enough on my plate or enough things to worry about in life. But I want to use an illustration used by an American pastor called Francis Chan. And he used this illustration to explain eternal life. So imagine this rope is time. And imagine this rope goes on forever. I can only find a 1 meter rope. But imagine this rope goes down to the end of the corridor and it goes on forever. Now imagine this red tip is your life. Let's just say it's 70 to 90 years on this earth. What Jesus is saying here is that we need to think about all of this and all of this. And this goes on forever. This is eternal life. He's saying that what we work for in this life determines where we will go after this life, into eternal life. And so Jesus is making a claim in this passage that what is essential for your life is Jesus himself. We have to come to Jesus and feast on him in this life, so that with him we will move on to eternal life forever. If you're a Christian today, let us keep feasting on Jesus as our manna from heaven. Jesus is the one who is essential for our survival in the wilderness of this world. If we endure and daily feast on him and his words, that is to believe, we have the hope that we will be raised up on the last day in a physical resurrection. And he is the true bread that we need that is essential for eternal life. And if you're here today and wouldn't say you're a follower of Jesus, you'll probably have some questions. Is this all far-fetched babble from a deluded madman? Or is Jesus really God? Is he able to offer us eternal life? Well, I highly recommend reading John's Gospel. Jesus will go on to prove the claim he's making by dying on the cross for you and rising again in a physical resurrection. This resurrection testifies that you will have eternal life with Jesus if you believe in him. This resurrection testifies that he is the bread that we truly need in this life and the next. He is the bread that we need to nourish us, to sustain us and satisfy us now. Verse 35 is an offer that is just too good to miss. Jesus is calling anyone and everyone to come and accept this offer of eternal life. So give yourself a chance to investigate these claims further. You see, it all hinges on who Jesus is saying he is. If he is right that he is God, then this is one heck of an offer. And I guarantee you won't find a better one in the city. If you have questions, Phil and the team are here at Aldersgate to help you answer them. And maybe give Christianity Explored a chance. I would really encourage you to take away John's Gospel and give it a read. But I want to finish by closing with something Jesus says later on in John's Gospel. He says the following words to Martha, a woman who puts her trust in Jesus, but has just lost her brother. This is what Jesus said to her. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' bold words here, Lord. We thank you that he came into our world, that, Lord, he offers us eternal life, Lord, as we come to him. We thank you that Jesus is the bread of life. And we pray, Father, that as we go away now and into our offices, into our daily lives, help us, Father, to really put Jesus at the center of our lives. Help us to come to Jesus and feast on him, to know that he is what we need, that he will nourish us and satisfy us and sustain us. Help us, Father, to see that Jesus is essential for our life, more than the things of this world. Help us, Father, to really put our faith in him, to grow clear on who Jesus is, Lord, to see that he is more than what others will think, Lord, that he is the bread of life. And help us, Father, to really see that more clearly today. Praise in your name. Amen.